It's okay. We understand.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So we've been doing the story of God. Can you guys, can anyone help me out? What was the first thing that happened in the history of the world?
Creation.
Oh, wow. God made the world, right? Then after that, what happened? Bad stuff.
The fall.
That's what we talked about last time. Sin entered the world. And do you remember what the hope was that happened at the end? What happened? What did God promise to the woman? He said, yeah, you fell. But don't worry, because you're going to smash the head of the serpent. He's going to, your seed, your descendant, is going to smash his head. He's going to bite your descendant's heel, but the descendant is going to defeat the serpent and defeat sin and set things back the way that they are. And so, the way that they were meant to be. So what happens after the fall, if you look in the book of Genesis, after the fall happens, they're stuck out of the garden, and immediately the two first brothers, you know, Cain and Abel, like Cain's super jealous of Abel because he worshipped God the way that God wanted to be worshipped, and so he was jealous, so he kills his brother. You know, things are just spiraling out of control. And then after that, you have like, it's getting so wicked and so evil that the Lord is just like, so grieved by how nasty the world has become. And so what he does is he sends a flood to cleanse the whole earth. But he preserves through the flood one family, Noah, one guy who's righteous, right? So it's kind of like a restart. Hit the reset button on your computer, right? But then Noah comes out of the flood, and what happens? The first thing he does is he plants a vineyard. And then once that vineyard grows, he makes wine. And then he gets drunk. And then while he's drunk, one of his sons does something horrible to him. The Bible doesn't really say what it was, but it kind of hints at something that was pretty bad. And so then it's just spiraling again out of control. And then you come from there, and it goes on to the Tower of Babel, right? Where all the people are like, hey, you can just leave it. It'll be fine. Yeah, like the Tower of Babel, and people are like, hey, we make cities together. Yeah, let's do this. Everyone speaks the same language. They're like, we invented the brick. It's awesome. Let's make stuff out of it. And they start doing these good things, but then they say, hey, you know what? We're going to die, and people are going to forget about us. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make ourselves so we can be equal with God. Let's build this ginormous tower in a big city. And God's like, oh, again? All right, I have to stop you again. And he scrambles their languages, and that's where all of our languages come from that point. And that's why it's called Babel, right? Because blah, 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 blah. And so then you just have this thing where it's like God kind of wiping the thing clean, and us humans just boom again and again and again. And so we're like, man, what are we gonna do? How can we escape from this? God giving us just a blank slate doesn't do it. He's gotta actively do something. And then in chapter 12 of Abraham, boom, in comes the beginning of God's plan to save the world through a man named Abraham. And so this dude is the father of our faith and the beginning of God's plan to save the world. And when I say father of our faith, I don't mean like he is the one in charge of our faith. I mean, he is the first person to have faith in God, right? So all of us, we put our faith in God in the same way that he put his faith in God, right? Does that make sense? And so that's who we're going to learn about today, this dude named Abraham, who may or may not have looked like this picture, but some guy thought he did, so that's what that is. But let me pray, and then we'll jump into the story of Abraham. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories that are there, the just crazy stories we're going to explore today, God. Lord, would you open our eyes to see, open our hearts to receive from you today, God, and be in awe and wonder of you. We thank you for Abraham. We pray that we would learn from his life so that we can know you better today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so get your Bibles. If you need Bibles, can Elijah, would you mind popping over there and just grabbing a bunch of Bibles? If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Elijah will toss one to you. The rest of you flip to Genesis chapter 12. Okay, oh, prequel, I already talked about that. Man's repeated refusal to accept God's authority and insistence on choosing evil. Okay, chapter 12. Genesis, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. Okay. Genesis chapter 12.
Genesis
Okay, so Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to read the first four verses. Here's how it goes. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went. And the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Okay, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So this is a picture someone drew of Abraham and all of his, like, his possessions and his wife and Sarah and all of his servants leaving his father's home. And so what do we see from the story? Number one, you see God gives him a promise, right? So I'm going to talk about three things today. I'm going to talk about the promise, the covenant, and the test, okay? Promise, covenant, test, right? So the first one is the promise. And God gives this promise to Abraham. Abraham was just, you know, Joe Schmo, just normal dude. But God chooses him to start what he's going to do. He looks at the whole earth and he's like, I'm going to pick this guy right here. And he's going to be the one. This is a crazy thought of a person, you know. This guy's going to be the one. And he calls to him and he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you great. And I'm going to bless every family on the face of the planet for all eternity through you. Like, will you leave your family? And leave your country, and leave everything you know, and just leave. You don't even know where you're going. I'm going to tell you when we get there, right? Are you willing? And Abraham up, and he goes, and he leaves. God also promises him a land. He said, go to the land that I will show you, right? I'm going to go, and I'm going to give you this land that I'm going to send you to. So, a few things, just Hebrews 11, verse 8, I'll just read this to you. This is like what I mentioned, is that he didn't even know where he was going. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Right? So God's just like, hey, leave. And God's like, where are we going? He's like, I'll tell you. Okay. And he leaves and he goes, listening to the word of the Lord, trusting that God is going to fulfill his promise to make him a blessing to all people. You notice that this call is for him to be different, right? He's always lived with his family. He's always lived in Haran, right? And now God's calling him to leave or I don't know if he's always lived in Haran. I think he might have lived one person place before that. But basically, God's calling him to leave and to go out and be different and be separate. He's calling him to be consecrated and set apart for his work, right? So God's calling him out. Then he makes him the promise, I'm going to bless everybody through you. I'm going to bless you. And through that blessing on you is not just for you to be like, I love being blessed, right? But you're blessed to be a blessing. Does that make sense? He's blessed so that all the world can be blessed through him, right? Okay. And then he didn't know what this meant at the time. But what does it mean when it says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed? What is God talking about? But, you know, take a guess, wild guess. This is the beginning of God's plan to save the world. What does he say? He's saying Jesus, right? This is exactly what he's saying. He's saying Jesus. He's saying, like, look, one of your kids is going to be the one that will redeem the whole world from everything wrong, right? Everything bad that happened at the fall, like, I'm going to do that through you. And it's going to take a long time. He lived about 2,000 years before Jesus. Right? It's going to take about 2,000 years. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through you and through your descendants. Now will you let me, right? And Abraham's like, let's do this. And he moves out, right? Okay, so, cool. All right, so that's the first one, the promise. The second thing is the covenant, okay? And so, again, if you flip over a few pages in your Bible to Genesis chapter 15, God reiterates his promise, and he adds a few things to it. To Abraham, and then he does this like weird ceremony. So we'll read it. Let's just go ahead and read 1 through 18, and then we'll talk about it. So I'll go ahead and read it. It says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir to my home is Eliezer of Damascus. He's saying, like, one of my servants will get everything I own. I don't have any kids. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my own household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look towards the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And imagine, at this point, he wasn't like walking out in Shanghai, you know. He's living in the middle of the wilderness, right? And they hadn't invented like burning coal at that point or anything. So it's like clear skies. Can you imagine how many stars he saw? Right? Okay. And so then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. See those stars? That's what your offspring's gonna be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it counted to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, Bring me a heifer. That's like a female cow, right? Bring me a heifer 3 years old, and a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought them all, these, and he cut them in half, and he laid each half over against each other. Okay? Imagine, this is getting kind of weird. He's getting all these animals. He's cutting them in half. They're dead, right? He's cutting them in half. Oh, he kills them. And then he cuts them in half, puts one half here, one half here, right? And he lays them, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So now he has them laying out there, and he's just kind of waiting, and vultures start coming around, right? And eagles start coming around, and Abram's this, like, old guy, like, get away from mine, you know, like, and he's, like, trying to fight off these birds who want to come eat, like, the damn animals there, right? Weird, right? Okay? And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abraham, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners or expats in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Okay? So now, like, you got the dead pieces, and this just, like, smoking pot and torch begins to, like, go down between the pieces. You got this in your brain? It's weird, right? Okay. On that day, the Lord made covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land. And then he goes on to say where the land is. Okay. So here's something. When you read that, it seems like super weird, right? But the person who, when this was written, the people who would have read that, they know exactly what's going on. Because something very precise is going on. That ceremony, it's a specific ceremony. And I'm going to explain it to you in a second. But before I explain that, I want to ask you a question. Who are the stars?
Us.
The Israelites.
Yes, 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 both, yes. Okay, someone flip to Galatians 3. Can someone get there? You can beat me there. You can read it. Galatians 3, 7 through 9.
What's Galatians in Chinese?
Galatians 3, 18.
Galatians 3, 7 through 9.
7 through 9.
Okay.
I've got it.
Go ahead, read it.
Got it.
Now then, that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith.
So who are the sons of Abraham? Don't look right here. This is right here. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Anybody who has
faith,
anyone who believes God is a son of Abraham. So now here's the thing. This gives me chill bumps when I think about this. If you believe in Jesus, that night when Abraham walked out and God was like, your offspring are going to be like this. one of those stars up there was for you. Isn't that crazy? Like,
okay,
isn't that insane? Yeah, like one of those was for, one of those was for me, one of those for you. What Abraham saw, he's like, oh, I can't imagine. I don't even have kids, right? But like, boom, that's who God was saying he was going to bless through him. That's who he said was going to be his spiritual descendants, right? Yes, and one of those was for you, one of those was for me. That gives me chill bumps. I'm just like, so amazing. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Okay, just thinking back in the past in the history, the stars Abraham saw, like there's none of this bad air quality or all this junk. That even when you're in like the middle of the mountains and you turn off the lights, you can see stars. Like he saw beyond more clearly than we can even see today. So imagine anything amazing you've seen in terms of stars and probably multiply that like 100 times. And those are like the number of stars that Abraham saw.
Yeah.
Just blow
your mind. So crazy. Okay, but it gets cooler, because, oh, I'm so excited to tell you guys this. Okay, it gets cooler. So it gets cooler, So here's the thing. This ceremony, which I'm going to explain to you soon, was generally a land transfer ceremony. It's like a covenant for, like, the exchange of land. So Abraham says, hey, God, how do I know that you're going to give me this land that you're promising? And God's like, well, let's do the ceremony, right? So that's what this is. But what was this land that God was giving to him? Was he just like, hey, you know, I know you love real estate, so I got this great prime edge of the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea stuff that's great, you have great beach houses. Was that what he was saying? No, he was promising him an entire land, but why? Was because he was blessed to be what? Blessed to be a blessing. And what happened in the land that God was giving to Abraham? It's the land where Jesus was born. It's the land where Jesus died. It's the land where Jesus rose from the dead. It's the land where the Holy Spirit was given to the church. It was the land where the first church was established. It was a land where all the missionaries to spread the gospel to the whole world were sent out of. Right? Do you get this? This land was the place where everything was going to be sent from. And God's like, I'm going to give it to you. Right? So that you can be a blessing. You see, is that cool? It just blows my mind. Okay, so, but then, oh, yeah. And, crazier next, when Jesus comes again, do you know where the Bible says he's going to land?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. And when God comes back, and Jesus comes back and sets his kingdom on earth and restores earth to back, like Eden, the way it's supposed to be, he will rule from Jerusalem. Isn't that crazy? From the land that God gave to Abraham. See, Abraham was like, oh, I might get a plot of land. He had no clue. The whole universe, right, was going to be restored through what God was going to do on this land. Okay, right? Now the coolest part, because we have the ceremony, this like weird ceremony. Okay, so what they would do in this ceremony is they would take these animals, then they would cut them in half, and they'd dig this trough down the middle. And then they set them on both sides, and all the blood would run into the trough, right? And run down. And then the two people in the covenant would stand next to each other, and they would walk through that trough of blood between the animals, right? Yes. And they'd walk through together. And it was weird, right? But what it means was this. Hey, I make a covenant with you. I make a promise with you. If I break this covenant, may I become like these animals.
Oh.
Right? So that's what this meant. May I become like these animals if I break this covenant, right? And the two of them would walk through this together. So Abraham knows. God's like, hey, he's like, how are you going to give me this land? God's like, well, get some animals. He's like, oh, okay, I know what to do. Right? And then he's like, I guess we're going to walk through this. But guess, he's waiting. He's driving off the things. And what happens? What happens? He says, hey, look, Abraham, there's going to be hardship. Your family's going to go through hell in Egypt as slaves, but I'm going to be at work and I'm going to be doing something. So don't give up. I'm going to go through. And then he says this. Then, does Abraham walk between the pieces?
No.
Why not?
Liar.
Yeah, Abraham never walks between the pieces. Isn't that weird? Because it's supposed to be a covenant between Abraham and God. So they're supposed to both walk through the pieces, but Abraham never walks through the pieces, only the smoking pot and the flame, right? Which are a symbol of God. The commentators, I was reading a couple, they're like, oh, why? One idea, which I think makes sense to me, was later on when God's leading the Israelites, what was the symbol of his presence? The pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke, right? So now you have a smoking pot and a torch, kind of like similar. So I think it signifies his presence. But God walks through the pieces. Abraham does not walk through the pieces. Why? Because God was saying this, I made covenant with you, and this is, I will make sure this covenant happens. You don't walk through. This is all me. This is all me. I'm the one who walks through the covenant. Look at verse 6. What does verse 6 say in chapter 15? It says, and Abraham believed the Lord, and it counted to him as righteousness. Right? So how did Abraham become a good person, be righteous? Did he like do super good stuff? Did he was very, very insistent on keeping the covenant perfectly? No. What did he do? He believed the Lord. He put his faith in the Lord. That's why he's the father of our faith. And then check this out in Romans chapter 4. Okay, this is important because I know this is a little bit deep in the weeds, but roll with me. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. So it says this, what shall we say? Okay. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to boast about, but not before God. So if Abraham did a bunch of good stuff and that made God accept him, then he can boast. He's like, but not before God. But what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. Now to the one who works, if you do something, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due, right? So if you work to like do a bunch of good stuff so God will accept you, God has to accept you. It's your due. It's not a gift anymore, right? And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are the one whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man who, against whom the Lord does not count his sin. Right? So what is it saying here? It's saying the way to become right with God is not by doing the right things. It's by believing in God. And so when God established his covenant with Abraham, he didn't say, Abraham, I want you to go and do these things. What did he say? Abraham, I want you to believe me. I wanted you to put your faith in me, right? And the side part of this is that faith, it says in James chapter 4, I believe, or 3, faith without works is dead. Faith always ends up doing something, right? He believed God, so he left, right? He believed God, so he split the animals, right? But what came first? Did God accept him because he left? Did God accept him because he split the animals? No. God accepted him because he believed him. Does that make sense? That's the primary. That's the first thing. You can never earn your way into heaven, right? Heaven is a gift. You get it by receiving and believing in God, by faith. Okay? So, James chapter 2. Sorry, I had just like so many good stuff that I'm all psyched about today. So James chapter 2, verse 23 to 24 says this. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So what it's saying is that faith and works are intertwined, but what comes first?
Faith.
We believe in God, right? We don't earn our way into God, we believe him. And this is why it's so beautiful is, who walked through that cup? Who walked through those animals? Only God. Only God. And what did he say? He said, if I break this covenant, I will become like these animals. And get this, this is the crazy part. If you break this covenant, I will become like these animals. And what happened? We broke that covenant. And what happened? Jesus became like those animals.
That's
insane. Isn't that crazy? Like, doesn't that blow your mind? Like, Abraham's like, I don't quite get what's going on. God's like, trust me. people will get this someday. Yeah. Someday people will put this together. Like, just roll with me on this, right? Well, do you guys understand this? This is so key. And this is why, at the very beginning, Abraham was the very beginning of what God did. And God wanted to be very clear to Abraham. This is not the work of you. You are not going to save the world. You're not going to be a perfect person so that the world can be redeemed. What? It's the work of me. I am the one who establishes the covenant. I am the one who walks through the blood. I am the one who is torn apart for the salvation of the world. And your part is just to believe and to put your faith in it, and then let that work itself out into the way you live. But the part that you play is faith. And that's why Abraham is the father of our faith, right? Because he is the one who believed in God, he trusted in God, and then God, through him, brought the salvation of the world. All right, so, anyway, yeah, it's crazy, right? So now we move to the third one, because there's more crazy stuff in the life of Abraham. I'm skipping a couple stories just because we could teach a whole semester on Abraham. But at this one, I want to talk about the test. So we have the promise, we have the covenant, and now we have the test. So Abraham, God promised him a descendants, right? He promised that he'd have kids. And Abraham doesn't have any kids. So if you know the story, basically his wife got kind of cheeky, and she was like, I can't have any kids, I'm too old. Why don't you just sleep with my Ai, you know, right? And then so he does, and he has a kid by the Ai, but that wasn't God's plan at all, because generally sleeping with people besides your wife is never God's plan, right? Okay? And then God's like, what are you doing, Abraham? I got you. I can do this. And he's like, you sure? She's 90. I'm like 100. And God's like, no problem. And God gives him a miracle baby. Like, this should not happen. Sarah was 90 years old. I mean, can you imagine a 90-year-old nursing a newborn? Like, that's just weird, right? Okay? But that's what happened, and Abraham was 100 when he was born. And God gave him this son of the promise that through him was going to come the descendant for all of these promises, right? All these promises making, getting the land, all the descendants, all these people, it all was going to come through Isaac, right? Okay, and so we have that set up, and then God says, hey, I want you, well, let's read it. Genesis chapter 22. Let's flip over to Genesis 22. Okay, I'm going to read it, and then we did a skit a little while back at one of the retreats I'm going to show you. So, Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, yeah, it's kind of funny. Right? Okay. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they both went, both of them together. Can you imagine Abraham? Like, just, you know, like, what is he going on? When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Right? So how many of you guys knew that story before we just read it? Okay, so most of you guys. I heard it a ton growing up, and I just, like, it, like, honestly, I just heard it so much, just kind of like, yeah, it's just a story. But we did this skit a couple years ago at retreat, and it just kind of made it really real. And it was almost, like, too real, and so, like, some of you guys, they actually laugh during it. People, like, it's a pretty dramatic skit, and people laugh. So I think it's because it's kind of uncomfortable. But I just want to show it to you guys, and hopefully it'll kind of make this come alive. So, let me pull it up.
Wow, it's on YouTube.
Yes,
it is.
That's
wonderful. Kenny, you could have told us and we would have done it.
Oh, sorry, I could have.
Kenny.
Oh,
that's like a bunch of seconds.
Well, what happened?
A bunch of tissues.
Keep the lights off.
I know.
Neither of you are guys.
I'm one of them, and so are you.
Well, I am.
So let's just praise the Lord.
But you guys are daughters. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, maybe I won't want to show you this skit. Sorry. You can watch it after. Sorry.
That's so Christian.
Wait, is Jesus his last name?
No.
Does he have a last name?
No.
All of Nazareth. All of
Nazareth.
No, his middle name was Up. His last name was Nazareth.
Their last name would be like son of someone.
Like, yeah.
So
like
if you
yeah,
read
you
the
said
Bible,
who your father
was.
It's
like,
their last
name.
Jesus, son of Joseph.
That's why.
Oh, bummer. Okay, never mind. I won't show you the skit.
No.
It's okay. We'll watch it later. It's a
is
cool
why we
skit. Sorry, yeah, you guys could have done it. But I'll show you guys later. Okay, so a few things from the story to notice, okay? So a few things I want you to notice. First,
it's working.
It was just a little.
The Lord will find a way.
Okay, yeah, the Lord will find a way, right? All right, let's see.
One mic.
Mic it, Kate.
Thank you.
Hi.
It's
been a long downhill.
Sorry, Jen. Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. Sorry.
I got you. You thought you hurt me. You can't hurt your old man.
Is that Garrett Thurston?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Garrett Thurston!
Is that Thomas?
Cool.
Did
you hear Homer?
Oh my gosh.
Sort of. Sort of. So, you know what? Why don't you go home with your mom and the kitchen, okay? Okay. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You gave them to me. Why would you? No! Absolutely not! I'm not going to kill my only son, Lord. You gave him to me as a promise. No! Why? Why would you? That's too much, Lord. No! No! Lord, that's going too far. You can't ask me to do that. I can't kill my only son. Please, Lord, anything else. You know I love him more than anything. Why would you ask? No. Lord. Isaac, come here, son.
Yeah, where's your dad?
Come on, go give us, offer a sacrifice to the Lord.
Okay, I'll get the wood and you get the fire.
Come, son.
Dad, where's the sacrifice?
Trust me, son, the Lord will provide. So I need you to lay the wood down.
Where's the sacrifice?
The Lord will provide, son. Trust me. I need you to put your hands together.
Dad?
Why?
Dad.
Son, trust me.
Trust me, I'm gonna kill you. It's gonna be fine.
Son, you know I love you more than anything else. Please, trust me.
Just trust me.
Just trust me. I'm tying you up.
Yeah, I need to lay down.
Trust me. You're gonna die. Without me.
Dad. 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 Dad.
Son, you know you're most precious to me. You weren't asked to give what's most precious to him.
I trust you.
Turn the light back on if you want.
Kenny, what was that?
What's it up?
2012?
Okay.
Oh, 2012.
13. No, 13. I think you were married.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's like,
sorry, I don't want to. I know that guy. All right, so, yeah. So, it's funny because you, like, laugh, but at the same time, it's like, you know, can you imagine what was going on inside of Abraham's head? You know, as his son's like, Dad, why are you doing this, Dad? You know? And so it's such an intense, uncomfortable thing, right? And so a few things I just want to point out from here is number one, Isaac, a lot of times we imagine him as this little kid. He's not a little kid. You can see from Scripture that he's carrying all the wood for the sacrifice, right? You can see that he knows what a sacrifice is, right? He's like, hey, where's the lamb? He's not like a two-year-old, right? He knows what's happening. He's aware what's going on. His dad is over 100 years old, and they're climbing up a mountain. So he's probably helping his dad up the hill, right? So some people estimate he may be 30 years old. Whoa. He may have been like 33 years old. He's somewhere between probably 15 or your guys' age and like between you guys and me. That's kind of the age span that he's in. And he's at any time during this thing, he could have told his dad no. Right? He could have overpowered his dad at any time. This is the most time people think they're like whatever, but no, he is like a willing participant in all of this. He could have overpowered his dad at any time, right? But he doesn't. So he's willingly trusting his dad, trusting his father, and yeah, so Abraham, God had already promised to Abraham and said, hey, through Isaac, I'm going to fulfill my promise to you. And then God, after that, is like, I want you to go and kill Isaac. And he's like, what the heck, God? So what do you think is going through his brain? Well, you can see, because it talks about it later on in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it kind of tells us what was going through his brain. It says this in chapter 11. Starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was already said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So what is Abraham thinking? He's like, okay, God's promised it through Isaac. I know he's going to do it through Isaac, but God wants me to kill Isaac. So what's God going to do?
Bring him back from the dead.
He's going to bring him back from the dead. He's like, that's the only way it could be. So he says, I'm willing to kill my son because I know the promises of God was that he was going to give me descendants through his son. And he's not married, he doesn't have kids yet. So God's going to do it through him. So even if I kill him, God is able to bring him back to life. What part of what God was testing him? He was testing whether or not he would trust God to fulfill his promise to him. He was asking him to see whether or not he believed in the power of God to beat death, right? And guess what? If Abraham was going to start this thing that God was going to do through all the eons to transform the world, he had to believe that God was of someone who keeps his promises. And he had to believe that God was someone who had more power than death. If he didn't believe those things, he couldn't be the instrument through which God brought this thing to the world. And so he found, as he tested Abraham, that he was a man who did trust him like that. He passed the test. God was the king of his heart. Not the blessings, not the promise, none of that was the king of Abraham's heart. God was the king of Abraham's heart. And what I find so cool about this is, you know, the truth is, guys, I don't know. There's very few people in the entire world who will ever understand what God knows firsthand, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, right? God at the beginning was saying, Abraham, you are my friend, and I want you to understand what I'm about to do. And when this was over, Abraham understood what God was going to do. Do you see this? Abraham understood what it meant to sacrifice your own son. Because God was sacrificing his own son because of love, right? So Abraham was understanding what God was doing. Isaac was like Jesus. He was a willing sacrifice. You notice this? He's carrying the wood up the hill to his own sacrifice. Does that sound familiar? Anybody else carry the wood up the hill to their own sacrifice? Jesus carrying his cross. You guys see this? Right? And then what does Abraham do? I mean, Isaac, he's going up and he's like, I don't get how this is going to work, but Father, I will trust you. And what did Jesus do the whole thing through? Father, I will trust you. God, Father, please take this cup from me, but not what I will, what you will. I trust. Do you see this? Like, there's all this stuff that's happening here. They have no clue. Like, they have no clue, but there's all this stuff that is going on. And Isaac is also like us, where he is there, ready to be killed, and at the last moment, the lamb comes. The lamb provided by God comes and takes his place. And in fact, you guys remember what Abraham says? He says, wow, I'm going to call this place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Like, this is the mountain. The Lord will provide, right? And then, this is so cool. So Abraham named that place the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, when Genesis was written, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided, right? So there's this saying that's gone from Abraham all the way to the point where this is written, and it says, yeah, on that mountain, Mount Moriah, on that mountain it will be provided. There's just a saying. Right? Okay. Get this. Can somebody turn to 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1? This is going to blow your brains. Like this. Okay, someone, 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Somebody read it for me. Does anyone got it? Okay, go ahead.
Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah.
Whoa! Where is Mount Moriah?
It's
Jerusalem.
Oh!
Mount Moriah is Jerusalem. Like, Jerusalem's not there yet. But now, like, when he went there, like it's Jerusalem. And that's where the temple gets brought. Where for thousands of years there's going to be this thing that's going to point towards Jesus, where they're going to kill a lamb for the sake of their sin. And then what happens? Boom. On Mount Moriah, right? This is me in Israel, right? Okay. On Mount Moriah, that's where God sent him to sacrifice Isaac. Okay? Now, this whole area is called, like, Mount Moriah, right? And that's where they built the temple, right? And that's where everything happened with Jesus around Jerusalem. But get this. Okay, so this is crazy. Did you notice what he said to Abraham? He said to Abraham, go to Mount Moriah, and when you get there, I'm going to show you the place. Okay? I'm going to show you the place where I want you to offer sacrifice. They had to travel, like, I was looking up, it's like basically 3 days' journey. Right? It's three or four days' journey from where they were living to this place. But God's like, no, I don't want you to offer sacrifice here in the backyard. I want you to go someplace, 3 days' journey away. You go there, and when you get there, I'm going to show you a very specific place where to do it. Now, I can't prove this next point, but I like it. and it kind of makes sense to me. God had a specific place he told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. And it was on Mount Moriah. I think that place was Calvary. I think that's where that was. Because he said, on this mountain, this is a very specific spot that I want you to do it. So what spot would he choose? Right? So he takes Isaac to this spot, and he teaches Abraham and Isaac what he's going to do to save the world on that spot. And they don't really see all that's happening. But 2,000 years later, Jesus walks up that hill with the wood on his back, a willing son, a willing sacrifice, and he goes to the same place that Abraham, Isaac, his son, and dies for the sins of the world. And what does Abraham say? Abraham says, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided, right? Get this. And it was said for time, years and years and years and years after that, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. What shall be provided? The solution to the world on that mountain will be provided. Like, they don't even know what they're talking about, right? They have this saying, like, on that mountain will be provided. God will provide on that mountain. Someday, somehow, on that mountain, God will provide. And they had no clue that the Son of God was going to walk up that mountain and die on a cross to pay for the sins of the whole world, to die in their place, just like that lamb died in Isaac's place. Isn't this crazy? This is insane what God was doing. God was building this all into place years and years and years beforehand. And then he set it into place. And guys, this is what's crazy about this picture. It was somewhere probably in this picture. It was probably like, there's a couple places where they think Golgotha was. And up in this area over here behind my head is kind of like one of... there's like three or four places, that one historically to me makes the most sense. You can look at, it's called, I forgot, anyway, you can look it up. But yeah, somewhere in this area is where, over here is the Mount of Olives, right here. This is the Mount of Olives. And so somewhere in this area was around Jerusalem was where God saved the whole world. And his fulfilling his promise to Abraham that through you, all the nations will be blessed. Isn't this crazy? I feel like sometimes we think about Christianity, we think about what God is doing, and we think of it very small, right? We think of it as like, oh, you know, I'm having trouble today, I'm stressed, I'm going to pray, and God feels me better. And that's what my Christianity means, right? Like someone asks, what's Christianity mean? Well, it helps us be a good person, and helps us be forgiven, and stuff like that. What God was doing in the world is so much bigger than my problems, right? Like, what God was weaving through thousands of years of history was so much more complex. I mean, this is better than any movie, right? Right, this is crazy, all the pieces that are coming together. And God is doing this. And you know what's really crazy, guys? God is still doing this today. He is still doing this today. And we don't know what the end looks exactly like. He gives us a few pictures in Revelations and Ezekiel and Daniel. And you can look and see some little hints that he's given us. We don't know exactly what he's doing. But in the same way that Abraham knew he was going to be a blessing. He didn't know what that meant. But he knew he was. We, in the same way, are now part of that story. We're part of that story. And God is building something in us that will end there. So what do we do with it? I'm going to wrap up. So what? Right? So... first off, question. Have you accepted by faith what God provided for you on Mount Moriah? I just want to say this today. If you, until today, have understood Christianity as you doing the right thing or being a good person, if that's how you've understood Christianity, I want to tell you today, Abraham's not your father yet. But today he can be your father, right? Because what God was teaching us through Abraham and all the way through was that he was not going to do this by, he was not going to do what he was going to do by human work, by human effort. He was going to do this by himself, and we believe by faith, right? So I want to say today, if you have never said, Jesus, I believe in you. I accept the gift of your death on the cross for my sins, the forgiveness, and I accept you as the Lord of my life. And I realize that me being forgiven and the work and the covenant and all the promises and all that stuff, that's all you. And none of it is me. I just believe you like Abraham believed you. If you've never done that, today's the day. You just come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me at the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe you're the Son of God. And you give your life to him. And then you are one of those stars, right, that Abraham saw. And that's where we find new life. I would say, you know, if you've been a Christian but you're really frustrated and you feel like, I just feel like I'm always failing and failing and failing and I never feel like I'm fully accepted by God. I never feel fully loved by God. Perhaps you've never understood this. Perhaps you've never actually really believed by faith in God and understand that it's his work for you, I'm not Mariah. It's not what we do. So first. Second is, have you accepted the call of being one of Abraham's children, right? Of being blessed, to be a blessing to the world. So just like God called Abraham to go out, he calls us to go out. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible describes us as Christ's ambassadors. So now we carry this message. This is our part, you know? You see, like, Abraham, and then it comes to Jesus, and then it's like, what's next? We're going to get to this in the future. But what we are right now is we are bearers of the gospel, of that good news, of this message, that God has come and forgiven, made a way for forgiveness of sins. And now we have that glowing, like, treasure inside of us. And we go and we light up the world with that, right? That's our mission now. You were not given forgiveness of your sins and blessed beyond measure, like a way out of guilt, out of shame, out of addiction. You weren't given this power of God living inside of your body. You weren't given that just so you'd be like, woohoo, this is a good life. That's not why you were given it. You were given it to be a blessing to the nations. Do you guys get that? You were blessed to be a blessing. Just like Abraham, you were blessed with the gift of Jesus Christ so that you could share that gift with others and you could be a blessing to the world. And so I would just encourage you, have you accepted this call? Maybe you've accepted the blessing, but have you accepted the call to be a blessing? And like Abraham, this may mean that you go out from what's comfortable, that you leave from the place where you've always been, right? And you go out where maybe people don't like you as much, or maybe you don't go in that career you've been dreaming about forever, but you say, God, I believe you, and God counts that to you as righteousness, right? And I put my trust in you, right? Right? Maybe God is calling you to something and you need to respond. And also, have you, go all like Abraham, be Christ's ambassadors, his means of saving the world. And are there anything else in your life? You know, why did God have him offer up Isaac? After Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, anybody could have said to Abraham, hey, bro, are you really devoted to God? And he would have been like, yep. I know. I am, because the one thing that could have taken the place of God in my heart, I didn't hold back. So I want to ask you today, what's that one thing? Is there one thing in your heart that if it creeped up there and God said, hey, I want that to die, like, would you be okay with that? God's not necessarily asking you to sacrifice that right now, but he might be. And I want to ask you, is that below Christ in your heart? If Christ says run with it, you run with it. If God says cut this out of your life, will you cut that out of your life? Are there any idols? Because if like Abraham, God's going to use you to change the world, then you cannot have any other gods before him. He's got to be the king of your heart if you are going to be a blessed to be a blessing to the world, just like Abraham. Okay? So, I want you guys to think about that. One, is your relationship with God based on faith or works, right? It's got to be 100% faith. Works is just the outworking, like just the result of faith, not vice versa, right? And have you accepted the call of being a blessed, being blessed to be a blessing to the world? Is God calling you to do something? Is calling you to say something, start something at your school? And is there something in your life that you need to surrender to Him? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, it's just so cool. I get so stoked seeing what you do and how, like, through 2,000 years, you know, of history, you were just weaving things together till at the right moment you just release it, God. And it's a little bit awe-inspiring. It's like chill bumpy, you know, to see what you're doing in the world. And God, just to even consider for a moment that we get to be a part of that, that you invite us into that, we just say, wow, wow, Lord. And I just want to ask right now in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone here who their relationship with God either doesn't exist or their relationship with God has always been about like, oh, I did this for God, now He owes me something, or, oh, I'm trying to get God to like me by what I do. I pray today that they would understand that their role is to believe what the promises that God has said and to accept them from Him. And that is the core. And that is where everything comes out of, not our good works. That God is at the middle of the gospel, not us, not our humans, God. I pray that they would understand that today and that they would fully surrender their life to you and that they would fully believe and put all their faith in you, just like Abraham did. And God, I pray too that, Lord, I just know that there's probably people in this room that you've called to really, really radical surrender, like radical, just insane life stories that are different from normal people, to be a part of your plan to save the world. God, there's probably people here that you're calling to be missionaries in parts of the world where it's really dangerous or really sketch, God. But I pray that you would give them courage, and if they're here, that those people, you'd speak to them, begin to show them your vision for them, God. And I pray that all of us, regardless of what you want us to do in our life, that our hearts would be like Abraham that say, where do you want me to go? I'll go. What do you want me to sacrifice? I'll sacrifice. I believe you. I love you. Everything I own is yours. And God, I just pray, just with that, if there's any idols here in this house, God, any idols that want to rule in any of these people's hearts, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would tear those down by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in this moment, God, I pray that people would surrender these idols to you and that you would be the king of their heart, just like you were the king of Abraham's heart, God. And I ask that you would have your way in every one of their lives. Let's just take like 2 minutes, and what I want you to do is just ask the Lord about these three things. Ask the Lord, is my relationship with you based on works or faith? And then just work that out with Him. And then see if there's anything in your heart that needs to be surrendered to Him. And if there is, just deal with that right now. And there's forgiveness and restoration. So give me 2 minutes. Just talk to the Lord about anything you need to surrender or about a change in the way you think about your relationship with Him. So let's just take a few minutes. Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you, and we're in awe of you. And, yeah, Lord, go God. Like, go you. Like, continue what you're doing, God. We just, like, we're, like, just cheering you on. We're your biggest fans, God. We want to just see your work and your kingdom continue to go forward. And, God, we can't wait for you to come back. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Tonight's chili night, which is awesome. But before we do that, I think let's have some small groups. So, let's do high school guys. Can you take high school guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do high school guys in upstairs in my office, and then middle school guys go up in this room. Yeah, you got that. Like the landing part of my house. Yeah. And then girls, maybe half can be there, half here, and steps, could you take half? And then maybe could you guys help lead the other half? Yeah. Okay? Great. So, young, well, however you want to divide them up. But guys upstairs, let's go. And one other thing. I'll go over by the stairs here. If any of you guys want prayer, I'm just going to hang there for a little bit. So, if any of you guys want just like prayer about anything, I'll pray with you guys. But otherwise, send to your small groups, okay? Great.
Hold you down.
Oh, soft.
I know. Never.
Okay.
Never. Oh, there's discussion questions here if you need them.
Dope.
So,
Joshua.
You don't have to use them, but you can.
Shall you take a job can? All
right. I can read
a what?
A job can?
Not really.
A can of a job?
Yeah, but I can't see.
I'm only on one of my life.